when I was praying, he gave me the word, the gathering of the brethren. That is what he asked me to speak on, the gathering of the brethren, the gathering of the brethren. So let's go right away in the book of Psalm, chapter number 133. The book of Psalm, chapter number 133, and verse number 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Underline unity, that is the first point. Brethren dwelling together in unity, the unity is the first thing. Secondly, second verse is, it is like precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. So our second thing that we want to look at is the oil on the body of Aaron. That is the second thing. First is unity, second is the oil on the body of Aaron, and the third one is third verse. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The blessing is life forevermore. The third thing that we want to look at is the dew of Hermon on the mountain of Zion. So there are three things in this verse which talks about the gathering of the brethren. And the Bible is saying that when the brethren, the people of God, come together in unison, in unity, in one accord. Okay, first is unity, but that unity part I will keep it for the last part of the sermon. First, I will address what will happen when the brethren come together in unison. When the brethren come together in unity, it's the corporate gathering of the body of Christ. When we come together, there are two things that happens. First of all, oil is poured on the body of Aaron, and the second thing it says that fresh dew is released. The dew of the mountain of Hermon, the dew of the mountain of Hermon descends on the mountain of what? Of Zion. Hallelujah. Okay, so these are the two things that happen. Oil is released on the body of Aaron in a certain way. First, it says on the head, then the beard, then the edge of the garment. And then the second one, it's the dew that is released, the dew of Hermon on the mountain of Zion. Now listen to me very carefully. There are certain things. There is the anointing for service, anointing for serving God, anointing to do your ministry. Hallelujah, in the kingdom of God. And secondly, the fresh revelation of the word of God. Hallelujah. These are the two things that you will not be able to receive it until you become the part of the gathering of the brethren. Okay? The gathering of the brethren is so important. In the book of Hebrew, it says that do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. So the gathering of the brethren, the corporate body of Christ, is very important, because the Bible says in the corporate gathering where brethren gather together, these two things will be given in only in that corporate gathering of the brethren. And slowly, slowly, we will get into that. So, first of all, I want to start off with the third verse. The third verse is, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life, that is life forevermore. Now, what is the dew of Hermon and what is the mountain of Zion? Write it down now, and then I will explain it. The mountain of Zion is signifying the city of David, is where God appointed his servant King David to rule and administrate God's reign from the stronghold of Zion. Okay? Now, the mountain of Zion is the administrative system of God. What is that? Is the administrative system of God, the mountain of Zion. The body of Aaron is the priesthood system of God. Are we understanding? So stay with me. We will go slowly and we will understand how important is the gathering, the cooperate gathering of the brethren. Hallelujah. I cannot say, oh, I am anointed, I am an apostle, I am individual, I am independent of the body of Christ. If I say that, I am not working for God, I am working for the devil, because every calling in the body of Christ is in the body of Christ and is for the body of Christ. We are not doing individual things. A person who is called in the kingdom of God is not to build up an individual or independent empire. His service is intended to the equipping of the saints of God for the work of ministry. We will come to that. Okay, I will come to that when I talk about the oil on the body of Aaron. So, but let us now come to the third verse. The dew of Hermon on the mountain of Zion. Now, the mountain of Zion, I said what? It signifies the administrative system of heaven, the mountain of Zion. It signifies the administrative system of heaven. The body of Aaron signifies the priesthood system of heaven, the priesthood system of God. What do we mean by the administrative system of heaven? Let's go to Micah chapter number 4, verse number 6. Micah chapter number 4, verse number 6. Verse number 6 onwards. In that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame, I will gather the outcast, and those whom I have afflicted, I will make the lame a remnant, and the outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. So that is the administrative system. Administrative system of God is defined as the place, as the tabernacle from where God executes his reign and rule. Are we understanding? It is the place, it is the tabernacle from where God executes what? His rule, rulership, his dominion, his reign over the kingdoms of the earth. That is Zion. And we are a part of the mountain of Zion. We are the dwellers of the mountain of Zion. That means the administrative of system of God, the place of the tabernacle from where God executes what? His rule, his dominionship, his dominion. Okay, Zion is the place from where the rule and reign of God is executed. That is Zion, which is called the administrative system of God. Now, you have to understand the Bible. When the Bible speaks about Jehovah, about God, about Adonai, it talks about God is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. King is the position that he has in Zion, and Lord is the position that he has in the body of Christ, in the priesthood. Are we understanding now? Okay. King is what? King is the rulership position that he reigns from Zion. He is a king of Zion, and he's the Lord of the body of Christ. So the Lord operates through two systems, the Zion system and the body of Aaron system, the priesthood system. That's why we call him the Lord of Lords, that is the Lord over the body of Christ. And then the King of Kings, the King of Zion, that administrates the rule and reign from the mountain of Zion. Okay, let me show you some verses. Whenever the Bible talks about Zion, it refers God as the King of Zion, not the Lord of Zion. Because it's the administrative system, is the rulership place where it mentions God as the King of Zion. Let's go to Matthew's chapter number 21, verse number 5. Matthew's chapter number 21, verse number 5. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your what? Your king. Your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Who is coming for Zion? The King of Zion is coming. The ruler of Zion is coming. So Zion is the place, the tabernacle. Okay. Understand this, because we are a part of that system, Zion system. Zion is the place, the tabernacle, where God executes his rule, his dominion, his reign. Another verse I want to give you, Zechariah chapter number 9, verse number 9. Zechariah chapter number 9, verse number 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Not your Lord, your king. Because Zion is the ruler system, is the administrative system. It's the king of Zion that is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. The prophecy that was fulfilled in the book of Matthew. Again, the king of Zion. Hallelujah. Okay, Psalm chapter number 24, verse number 7. Psalm chapter number 24, verse number 7. So it says, we know that verse. I took this verse many times. Psalm chapter number 24, verse number 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The King is a man of war. The Lord, the King. Hallelujah. Who reigns from Zion. Are we understanding? Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now this verse is been sang by David, or written by David, when he was entering Jerusalem to bring the Ark of God in the mountain of Zion. Zion is in Jerusalem. Okay? Now listen to me. David was the one who was given the rulership of Zion. When you read 2 Samuel chapter number 5, that chapter, and particularly verse number 7, when David was, first of all, when Saul died, the people of Judah came and anointed David as the king of Judah first. Okay, the total number of years that David reigned was 40 years over Israel, but for the first 6.5 years he was reigning on Judah. But after 6.5 years, he started to reign for 33 years on Israel. And when he was anointed as a king over Israel, what he took is, he took the strongholds of Zion and made it the city of David. And from the city of David, and in that city of David, the stronghold of Zion in Jerusalem, he brought the Ark of the Lord. I told you, then the Ark of the Lord, when it comes, the Jerusalem gates had to open up. Even there are the gates of Zion that had to open up. There are the gates of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. I told you about the spiritual gates. There are demonic gatekeepers that don't want the presence of the Lord, the King of Zion, to let him enter into territories. But when a man of anointing, of stature, comes in with the presence of God, the gates would open up. And David was the man for whom the gates of Jerusalem, the gates of Zion opened up, and he could place the Ark of God in Zion. Hallelujah. David was the king from where Israel started to dominate the nations of the earth. Every nation came under Israel. Hallelujah. And at the end of his reign, the Bible says no nation would come against Israel to fight against Israel. David even defeated the Philistines, and the Philistines were silent. Why? Because he executed the Zion administrative system. When the church understands the Zion administrative systems, every nation will bow down before Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That will happen when the Zion administrative system by the church of God, by the body of Christ, is executed. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Amen. Do you understand what we are called for? Hallelujah. It's not a normal job. It's not a common meeting we are doing together every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or during the weekend. It's not a normal meeting. We are the Zion administrative system of God. Hallelujah. It's a serious job. It's a job where we are called as the system of God to execute the rule and reign of God over the nations of the earth. Can you imagine that? That is the level of wisdom and anointing and the wisdom of the word, the revelation God wants to pour on us. Hallelujah. That is what the gathering of the brethren is. The gathering of the brethren, hallelujah, is the mountain of Zion on which the dew of Hermon descends. I will come to the dew of Hermon, but I am explaining you the Zion, the administrative system of God, from where God sits and executes his rule and reign. And the church has forgotten. We are busy building our own, pastors are busy building their own empire. These are my people. No, let them not go there. I want to build my own mega church. I want to build my building. Oh God, you are called to execute the reign and rule of God over the nations of the earth. You are called as a part of Zion, the king of Zion. When David understood that, and he brought the king at the throne of Zion, hallelujah, his king ministry started to become so prominent and powerful that no nation could stand against David, because he executed the Zion system. The king of Zion, he is coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding now? So, to understand the start of Zion, read the book of 2 Samuel. That is the start of Zion. I don't have time to go there, but you can afterwards read 2 Samuel. It's there, I think, starting from chapter number 5. Okay, when David became the king of Israel, that is where he started to occupy the place that is Zion, the stronghold of Zion. And that is where he brought the Ark of the Lord in Jerusalem. And then when the king of Zion, started to sit on his rightful throne in Zion, David's ministry became prominent. Through David, God executed his rulership and his reign throughout the nations of the earth. That is Zion. That is what the body of Christ is all about. Are we understanding? That is the second system. The first system is the body of priesthood. I will come after Zion to that. The head of Aaron, the body of Aaron. But first is the mountain of Zion. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, what is the dew of Hermon? The Bible says, when the brethren come in unity, I will come to the unity part at the end of the sermon. When the brethren come together in unity, that is in the oneness of the Holy Spirit, in the mind of the Holy Spirit, in the vision, in the same vision of God, when the brethren come together in unity, what will happen on this administrative system of Zion? The wisdom to run the rule of God, that is, which is the dew of Hermon, will be released on this corporate gathering of the body of Christ. The dew of Hermon, what is the dew of Hermon? Write it down, then I will go into the verses. The dew of Hermon represents fresh, pure, sanctified, healing, living water. Okay, let me come again. The dew of Hermon represents fresh, pure, sanctified, healing, living water that releases life. That releases what? Life, which is the living word of God to give life, fresh revelation from heaven that brings life to flow or to descend on the mountain of Zion, the administrative system of God. Now, listen to me very carefully. The mountain of Zion can accomplish its functions of executing the rule of God only when they have the dew on them. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Only when they have the dew of Hermon. And the dew of Hermon will come when? The Bible says, when brethren gather together. Okay? I am teaching you tonight the importance, the revelation of gathering together as the remnant of God. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The dew of Hermon, this dew of Hermon, I told you, fresh, pure, sanctified, healing, living water that releases life. That is what is needed for the functioning of the mountain of Zion. The mountain of Zion cannot accomplish its functions or cannot accomplish its assignment if the dew is not there. They need the dew. And the dew will come when The mountain of Zion, the people, the brethren gather together. It becomes the mountain of Zion on which the dew of Hermon is released. The dew of Hermon is the fresh, pure, sanctified water that releases life. The living water that releases life. Okay, let me take you to the scripture. Exodus chapter number 16, verse number 13. Exodus chapter number 16, 1-6. Exodus chapter number 16, verse number 13. Let's read that. So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay around the camp. Lay around the camp, all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. And so when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." That is the dew. How was the manna produced? The dew, the fresh water, used to produce the food that came from heaven. Are we understanding what is the dew of Hermon? The dew of Hermon is the fresh wisdom of God over the mountain of Zion. The dew of Hermon is the fresh manna that is released every morning over the mountain of Zion. Oh my God. Brethren, the church is supposed to, you know, in the book of Acts, the Bible says that the church would meet every day and the apostles would break bread and teach the doctrine and they will fellowship. Why every day? To receive the dew. Every morning, they received manna. They received the dew that brought the fresh food. The Zion administrative system from where the people of God execute the rule and the reign of God over the nations of the earth is been run by the dew of Hermon. That is the fresh wisdom of God that we need every day. You know, Sister Ruth was talking accurately that night about the witches and the wizards would pray at that altar at 12 in the morning, at 12 in midnight when the day starts. And before when we are sleeping, they are manipulating our destinies from their altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here is the church which is supposed to receive dew every morning, the wisdom of God, tap into the word of God and command. And that is why the Bible says from Zion, he commands what? He commands the blessing. And what is the blessing? Life forevermore. The dew of Hermon. Are we understanding, people of God? That is what, oh God, hallelujah. That is what a church is. That is what the church is supposed to do. As the Zion, if you want to become the Zion administrative system, every day we got to receive the dew. We got to receive the fresh wisdom of God for that day. That wisdom of God that will be able to command the blessings of the Lord for our day, for the functioning of Zion, so that the manipulation of witchcraft, sorcery, occultism, divination will not be able to affect this system of Zion, but Zion will be able to execute the rule of Most High God over the nations of the earth. How? By breaking the witchcraft, by breaking the veil that covers the earth. Hallelujah. I don't know, I think Sister Jennifer, took a verse, I think yesterday or Friday, I don't remember. But in that verse, I think from the book of Isaiah, it says that the how the veil covers the nations, and God will break the veil that covers the nations. What is the veil that covers the nation? Is the veil of sorcery, witchcraft, that covers the nation. And if the Zion administrative system is not in place, that veil will stay. It is the Zion administrative system, the mountain of Zion, that receives the dew of Hermon that can break the veil and bring the glory of the Lord in the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. David was able to, by the grace of God, by the help of God, established that system of Zion that could rule over the nations of the earth, because he knew that he was called for the nations. He knew his calling. He says in the book of Psalm, in the initial chapters of Psalm, ask of me and I will give you the nations, in the book of Psalms. So he knew. He knew what he was called for. And that's why Jesus is called after the David. He's called the son of David, because Jesus is here. Jesus came to this earth to establish Zion and the body of Aaron again, which David was working through. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding now? The dew of Hermon. The Bible says the dew came and settled in the camp of Israel, and that gave them the fresh manna, the fresh bread. Moses said, that is the fresh bread that you are supposed to eat. That is the dew of heaven. Another verse I want to give you. There are many verses on the dew of Hermon I want to explain to you. So let me give you another verse. Numbers chapter number 11. Numbers chapter number 11, verse number 9. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. So that was the manna, the fresh bread. Early morning, that is, they are calling it night, the dew came in. Even before the sun had risen, the dew came in. Okay, hallelujah. Then another verse for the dew, Judges chapter number 6. Let's go to the book of Judges, chapter number 6, verse number 36 to 40. Okay, 36 to 40. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so, when he rose early the next morning. See, the dew comes early morning before the sun rises. That is the revelation of receiving the dew. Hallelujah. Okay, let me go ahead with the verse. And it was so, when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a ball full of water. That is the dew, the living water, the healing water, the pure and sanctified water. So the dew also represents the confirmation of God's purposes. The dew also represents the confirmation, because here Gideon asked for the confirmation that God is going to save Israel through him. And the confirmation that he put before God is the dew. He said, I will put a piece of wool on the threshing floor. And if the dew is only on the wool and not on the ground, then I will know that you will save Israel through me. Again, the same similitude of Psalm chapter number 133, verse number 3. The dew of Hermon that descends on the mountain of Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. For the confirmation, for the equipping of the army of God, that is the mountain of Zion. The Gideon and the 300 people, for them to be confirmed and as chosen warriors to save Israel, so that Israel will not be tormented by the enemies. Rather, Israel will torment the enemies, for Israel to have dominion. Okay, do we see that dew? I am explaining you the dew of Hermon from the scripture. Okay, then another verse we want to go to is 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17, verse number one. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word. So Israel became a barren land for the 3 years when there was no dew. So that signifies dew, which brings life to the earth. Dew represents the life, the it brings life to the earth. Another verse that supports that is in Genesis chapter number 27, verse number 39. This is what Isaac said to Esau. Genesis chapter number 27, verse number 39. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above," the life that comes from heaven for your dwelling, for your business, for your territory. He was blessing Esau, right? Hallelujah. So that is what dew does. It brings life. It brings life. Then another verse in Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. Let's just go to the scriptures and learn in detail about what we are speaking. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 19 and 20. Proverbs 3, 19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heaven. By his knowledge the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. Hallelujah. So the dew is the dripping of the knowledge of God. It's the dripping. By his knowledge the clouds drop down dew. It's the dripping, is the release of the knowledge of God, is the release of the wisdom of God. And that is what came on what? On the mountain of Zion, the dew of Hermon. Do we see that? Let's go to another verse, Isaiah chapter number 26. Isaiah chapter number 26, verse number 19. Isaiah 26, verse number 19. Your dead shall live, together with my dead body they shall arise. It's talking about the resurrection to Israel. Your dead shall live, and together with my dead body. Whose dead body? Lord's dead body. It's called, it's the dead body of, is the Jesus, it's Jesus' resurrection on the last day. It's talking about that. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So here it signifies the dew is the life that is re released in the dead, the life of God that is released in the dead. Okay, then another verse, Ezekiel chapter number 47. Ezekiel chapter number 47, verse number 9. Okay, I'm going quickly because there are many verses. So, but let me take you to the verses that talks about the dew. What is the meaning of dew? Ezekiel chapter number 47, verse number 9. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes, this is the dew, the living waters that is coming forth from the temple of the Lord, from the most holy place of the Lord. Okay, you can read it afterwards, what happens there. So this is the living water. So every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. That is the dew that descends upon you and me when we come together in unity. Hallelujah. The water that releases life, hallelujah, to the earth, to the nations, the life of God. Okay, those are the living waters. Another word in John chapter number 15, verse number 3, the last word about dew, and then we will move ahead. John chapter number 15, verse number 3. John chapter number 15, Gospel of John 15, verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. That is the dew. It is talking about the cleansing by water. The dew of Hermon every morning. When you receive the dew of Hermon every morning on the mountain of Zion, it cleanses the body of Christ. Hallelujah. A body of Christ that is not receiving the dew, the wisdom of God every day, that body of Christ will be in confusion. There will be sin, that there will be backbiting, there will be gossip there. There will be malice, there will be hatred for one another. There will be devouring of between one another because they are not understanding that they are a Zion administrative system that is supposed to receive the dew of heaven by keeping themselves in the unity of the Holy Spirit, in one mind, in the vision of God, what God wants to do. Hallelujah, on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Then the dew of Hermon, the dew can, the word of God will cleanse them every morning and keep them on the right path to continue to execute the rule of God from the mountain of Zion. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Are we clear on this now? The dew will be released on the brethren that dwell together in unity to carry out the rule of God. That is the work of Zion mountain. To carry out the rule of God from Zion to the nations of the earth. So are we clear on the third part, the third verse of Psalm 133 now? So can we go to the second part of the Psalm, chapter number 133? Okay. Hallelujah. Now, listen to me. Before going to the second part of the Psalm, the second verse of Psalm 133, where it says there will be a release of oil on the head, and that will flow to the beard of Aaron. Before we go there, let us understand the meaning of the mountain of Zion and the body of Aaron. The meaning of the mountain of Zion and the body of Aaron from the scriptures and revelation in the New Testament. So let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, let us read from verse number 7. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But what he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. That is a different revelation, so I'm not going into that. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So, to simplify it, it says that when Christ ascended, he released what? Gifts to men. That gift was the dew of Hermon and the oil of heaven, the anointing. That is what he released. For what? For what? Verse number 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Underline the equipping of the saints. Equipping of the saints is the body of Aaron. Okay? For the work of the ministry. Work of the ministry is the mountain of Zion. Stay with me. Okay? Equipping of the saints is what? The body of Aaron, the body of priesthood, the body of Christ. Work of the ministry that they will do after getting equipped is the administrative system, the mountain of Zion. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the purpose of the equipping of the saints, that is the body of Christ, and the work of ministry, that is the mountain of Zion. So that is why Psalm 133, the second verse is the oil that is released on the body of Aaron, and the third verse is the Hermon that is released on the mountain of Zion, because the body of Christ is built by the fivefold ministry, and the saints are equipped. When these saints are equipped, the equipping of the saints is happening and it's completed. The saints are equipped. These saints of God will become the city of Zion that will execute the rule and dominion of God over the nations of the earth. And when these two things will happen? Psalm 133 verse 1, when they dwell together in unity. Hallelujah. Can I have a hallelujah? Amen. Before going ahead.
Amen.
Amen. Are we understanding now? That is the church. That is the church. Unfortunately, people, pastors don't have the understanding of what they are running the church. They are running the church for other purposes. For gathering people and building a mega church, or do this and that, that person should not go, this person should. That is not a church. The church is the Zion administrative system that has been birthed through the body of Aaron, the priesthood system.
Hallelujah. Through which the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, teachers, evangelists function for the equipping of the saints. Hallelujah. And there, for the equipping of the saints, the oil is released. The anointing is released there. That we will, are we understanding the difference from the scripture between the body of Aaron and the mountain of Zion now? Remember, the body of Aaron is the equipping of the saints, simply. And the mountain of Zion is the work of the ministry. The execution of the rule and the dominion and the power of God over the nations of the earth. That is the work of ministry. That is the kingdom gospel that will be reached out to the ends of the earth to bring the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the reign of God. Are we understanding now? Okay. Hallelujah. So let us now, understanding this and having this in mind, let us go to the second verse in Psalm 133. Psalm chapter number 133. And verse number two, it says, it is like the precious oil when brethren dwell together in unity. What it happens? Second verse, it is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. Okay. First of all, let me come to the oil. Many of us already know what is the oil. The oil is the anointing. The oil is the Holy Spirit anointing, the Holy Spirit himself, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What is the oil for? The oil is the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the empowerment by the Spirit to the members of the body to stay connected to the head. That's why the oil first comes on the head, and through the head, then it gets released. So what did I say? The oil is the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the empowerment by the Spirit to the members of the body to stay connected to the head and carry out the will of the head. That is Jesus Christ. That is the oil for. And it will be released in the gathering of the brethren. Are we understanding now? That is the meaning of the oil. Let me go now. Now the oil, it does not say the oil comes over the whole body. No. There is an order. There is an order in which the oil is released. The Bible says the oil is released on the head. And then it goes through to what? The beard of Aaron. The head signifies the head of the body, that is Jesus Christ. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, first of all, to understand Psalm 133 verse 2, that the verse we are on, let us go to the New Testament verse where Paul teaches about the head and the body in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 11 onwards. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 11 onwards. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, that is the anointing, and we all are baptized into what? Into one body. That is talking about Psalm 133, verse number 2, okay? Into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, in our context, whether from India, from US, from Nigeria, from wherever, we are all baptized with the same anointing that has come through the same medium, that is Christ the head, into one purpose, not individual purposes, not individual agendas, into one purpose, okay? Stay with me. So, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Mm-hmm. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So every member, I am fulfilling a small part in the body of Christ. And my ministry, the ministry that I am doing is not independent in itself. It's dependent on the members of the body. Are we understanding now? Hallelujah. I am an apostle that is supposed to equip the army of God. And the army of God is supposed to receive the things, the ministry, the anointing on me, and they are supposed to function in it. So every ministry is dependent on one another in the body, and every ministry and calling is supposed to fulfill the will of the head and not their individual purposes. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Amen. That is coming of the body in unison when the Mount Zion, the rule of God, can be executed. The work of ministry. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not a one-man show. It's not a hero thing. It's the work of the body that is connected to the head. That is what Apostle Paul is teaching here. Okay. Verse number 22, no much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. Hallelujah. But our presentable part, okay, so it goes on to speak about the members who are weaker and all those things. So I'm not going into that, but are you understanding? Now Psalm chapter number 133, verse number 2, is talking about this body. Okay, now let us see the order in which the oil has been released. The order in which the oil has been released. That's why I came to this verse. There is an order in which the oil flows. The Bible says the oil is first released on the head. On the head, then from the head to the beard of Aaron. If you see that verse in your Bible, it does not specify Aaron when it mentions the head. It specifies Aaron when it mentions the beard. Okay, let me read that verse once again. Psalm chapter number 133, verse number 2. It says, it is like the precious oil upon the head. It does not mention the head of Aaron. Is it so in your Bible also? I'm reading from the NKJV. It is like the precious oil upon the head. So every anointing. Oh, if you want to do ministry and if you want anointing, every anointing that is released for the work of the kingdom is released through the head, is released through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the giver of oil. Are we understanding? Listen to me, because there is a lot of misconception about this anointing thing. Oh, you know, oh, brother, I'm doing ministry because I released anointing from so-so prophet, from so-so apostle. No, that is not what the Bible says. If you are working for the body of Christ, if you are working in the kingdom of God, the anointing has to come through the head, Jesus Christ. Stay with me. Then it says the second level of the anointing, where it goes from the head, running down on the beard of Aaron. Now, what is the beard of Aaron? I was asking the Lord, what is the beard of Aaron? The Lord told me the beard of Aaron signifies the mark of a Nazarite. Okay, what the Lord told me, the beard of Aaron signifies the mark of the Nazarite. You know who is a Nazarite? Samson was a Nazarite. The angel foretold the birth of Samson to the mother and father, and he said, no razor shall come upon him all the days of his life, because he is a Nazarite. Nazarite is someone who is a consecrated vessel for the kingdom of God. John the Baptist was a Nazarite. All his life he was in the wilderness, consecrated for the work of God. So, through the head, the anointing flows not on the members directly. It comes on people whose lives are consecrated and fully given to God for the service of God, the Nazarites. That is the beard of Aaron. Are we understanding? Now, from those consecrated vessels of God, who are the apostles, the prophets mainly, through them, it is released to who? To the hedge of the garment. The garment signifies the members of the body. Are we understanding? Now, this is the order of the flow of anointing. Now, listen to me. I want to teach you something here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to teach you something. Now, God has ordained, not because the apostles are something, they are just in the order. Because they have consecrated their lives. They are the Nazarites of God. Consecrated their lives to be given to the service of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? Now, through those leaders, they can be also pastors who are Nazarites. Through them, the anointing through the head, it comes upon the chosen, the consecrated. God knows who are chosen. On them it comes, and through them it goes on the members. It goes on the members. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Anyone who receives the anointing from God is to fulfill a part in the body of Christ. It is coming on the beard because the beard also is a part of the body. And it is working towards the fulfillment of the will of the head. And through them, it is released on the member. Why it is released on the members? Because they are also supposed to receive the anointing and not to build their individual agendas, but to the fulfillment of the purpose of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Any person, listen to me, any person who says, I don't need anyone over me. I don't need any covering. I don't know this. I don't want to be a part of any body of Christ. I want to serve God individually. And I received some anointing. That anointing did not come from God. Because God does not anoint people who have individual agendas. God anoints people who have surrendered to the will of God. And if you surrender to the will of God, you are fulfilling your role in building the body of Christ. I don't have an individual agenda. I am doing a small role, a small part to fulfill my assignment to the fulfilling of the will of Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. Are we understanding, people of God? Hallelujah. There are many prophets who are running churches who were not anointed in this order. They went out of the order of the body of Christ. And now they are anointed. With that anointing, what they are doing is they are not building the body of Christ, because no one in the church is connected to Jesus Christ. If they have a need for healing, need of finances, everyone has to approach the prophet. No one knows Jesus in that church. Have you seen the churches? No one knows Jesus in that church. Oh, my papa will pray for me. My papa will pray for me. My papa will teach me. They don't open the Bible. They hear their papa day and night. They hear their papa. They want prayer from their papa. That person was anointed outside of the body of Christ. And that anointing did not come from God. That anointing came from demons for the fulfilling of the agenda of flesh and blood. Are we understanding? Anointing can only be released in the gathering of the brethren. When you come together in the unity of the spirit where the remnant is. Oh my God. Anointing was not released when Peter was alone. It was released when they were in the upper room, 120 of them. The oil was released there. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why the Bible says, don't think yourself of highly that you can do something individually. I know people who have been under me. And I don't force people. By the will of God, if you want to submit, you submit. If you don't want to, you are released. I know people who have been under me, and they started to think, oh yeah, you know, we can teach like him, we can do like things like him, and then they started to go off from the covering of the remnant. I am no one. I am not exalting myself. I am no one. I am just fulfilling the role that I have in the body of Christ, but I am teaching the doctrine. Hallelujah. You're even in this meeting, you know, I don't tell people, but people who have the Spirit of God, if you know anyone, so many people came, oh, Brother Rahul, I am going to do this, preach on that. Please pray for me. Keep me in your prayer. They know what they are doing, and they need to do it under a covering. Hallelujah. Covering of a corporate body of Christ. Are we understanding? We have to honor the order, because the Bible says it goes to say ahead in the book of Corinthians, God is not the God of confusion, but the God of order. Hallelujah. Amen. You just can't become a believer and in 1 month you become an apostle. It takes years of consecration to reach there, years of sacrifice. And then you just started off and then you see, I can become like him. Oh God, the devil is taking you away. And you will be anointed in a demonic way, not from the order that God has set. Are we understanding, people of God? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I have seen this problem in the body of Christ, that people don't approach and go. If anyone comes to approach me and he says, you know, brother, God put me in this heart, in my heart to start this ministry or start this prayer meeting. I want to start it and I want to, and I give them approval. I don't ask them anything. God put it in your heart. Start it off. Do it. Start doing it. Amen. Do it. Work for the kingdom of God. That is how pastors are supposed to be. Apostles are supposed to be. And many people have stopped approaching their leaders because the leaders have become insecure. No, 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 no. You will not do it. Why you will not do it? Because he will make mistakes. Did you not do mistakes when you started off ministry? And you expect him not to do mistakes? Let him do what he wants to do. As he has a hunger for God, he will learn by his own mistakes. God is my witness. Anyone who came to me, they wanted to start a ministry, they wanted to do a meeting, I told them, I prayed for them, I gave them the blessing. I never hindered anyone. Hallelujah. Never hindered anyone. Because I know they will learn. It's my job to release people to do ministries. I have no insecurity if people start to do their own and they grow bigger than me. I have no insecurity. I am secure with my God. That is why people don't approach pastors. Because pastors are like, they become insecure. No, 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 don't do this. Don't do that without my permission. No, I have to pray. And they pray and they say, never say yes to those people. Those people get discouraged. And then they have to move out of that certain fellowship. That is the problem with pastors. They don't understand. Why the problem is? Because they know they also made mistakes, but they are insecure about people. No one should grow here. They have become Pharaoh and they are running Egypt and not a church. I'm telling you. When pastors become like that, they are running Egypt. They are not running the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? We are supposed to encourage the members of the body and bless them. If the hunger is genuine, yes. It's another thing that if someone comes to me and wants to start something else which does not align with the will of God, then I will tell him, brother, sister, it's not as per the word of God. You have to think twice. But if they want to do ministry or something for God, then we can give them permission. Do it. Continue. Bless them. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Knowing that no one is building in the body of Christ their own agenda, but we are all working towards the will of the head, that is Jesus Christ, from where the anointing is flowing on us, through the beard and then on the members. Are we understanding? Some people think, I am so anointed, I am called by God so much, the devil showed you vision and now you are puffed up in your mind. Oh, I don't need anyone, I don't need any intercessors, and I will become big and this and that. No, 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 that's not the order. First, God will teach you humility and teach you to submit to the authority. First, he will make you take care of what is another man's, and then he will give your own. That is what the book of Luke says. Jesus said, how will you take care of what is your own when you were not able to manage what is someone else's? Are we understanding that? That is how the body of Christ is designed. The oil is released on the head, then on the beard, the consecrated vessels of God, and through the beard, it goes on the body. Are we understanding verse number 2? Hallelujah. That's hallelujah. Amen. So once the anointing is released and people are anointed for the purposes of God, then what happens? The dew is released. Now for the work of ministry, to administrate the rule of God through this very Zion mountain to the nations of the earth. That is what you and me are called for, people of God. We are not called to build up something of our own, we are called here to fulfill. And the agenda of God for this end times is for the nations. Only one of us can chase 1,000, and two of us can chase 10,000. That's the power of fellowship. The number goes 10 times more when there is a fellowship, when there is unity. Now that brings me to the first verse. When brethren dwell together in unity. How good and how pleasant it is when brethren what? Dwell together in unity. Unity is one accord. And there is this release of oil and release of the dew of heaven in unity is because there is power in agreement. There is power when two agree together. Hallelujah. I want to give you some verses about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, where Jesus always mentions, it's not me who is witnessing myself as the Son of God or the Son of Man, but there is one who witnesses for me, and we two agree together. That's why what I am saying is true. I don't need any human witness. So Jesus always speaks, because the law says if something has to be confirmed, two need to come together. Are we understanding? There is power in agreement. There is power in agreement. I know how many anointings I have received in the corporate gathering of Christ, of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Because we agree with the purposes of God. In that agreement, there is power in agreement. Now, let me clarify the unity thing. Now, unity thing is not about convincing people or calling people. I never call people, be in one accord with us, be in unity with us. I don't convince anyone, force anyone, or tell anyone to be with what we are doing. That is now not how unity is accomplished. When the Argentina or the Brazil team goes to play football on the ground, the captain does not have to convince every member, you need to be in unison with the agenda we are having, we need to win. They play their own game. But when they are playing their own games, they are in unity with the agenda, because all of them have one vision. It's not convincing that will bring people together. It's when people who have one vision of the Holy Spirit, they will come together. It's the gathering of the brethren. Hallelujah. How the remnant is built is you continue to do the work, and hallelujah, the people who have the same vision as you will start to align with what you are speaking. Because they also have the same spirit and the same vision. And that is how people will start coming together. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? That is how these football matches are won. Because all the 11 players are the best in the country. They all have one vision, to play for the country and to win the match, win the World Cup or whatever cup for their country. All have the same vision. So never what pastors do in the church or calling people, come together, you have to be in the fellowship. That will not work. Unity is something that cannot be forced. Unity is something that the Holy Spirit brings it together. Are we understanding? That is one accord. When the 120 of the people were there in the upper room, no one was saying, I want to go to cook, enough is enough, waiting is enough, I want to go to wash my clothes. They were not complaining. They were selflessly waiting, because they all had the one hunger. They were all hungry. They were all thirsty. Hallelujah. Amen. If we all are hungry right now, we will all be found in the dining place and not in the living room, because we are hungry for the food now. So those who are hungry for one purpose, they will come together automatically. The Holy Spirit will bring together. That's why I don't force people. You don't want to, okay, go, let it be. No problem. Because by force, the unity is not accomplished. But by the Holy Spirit, it brings the people in one accord. And that is what God is doing. He is bringing the one spirit, one head that controls us. And those who have the spirit will come here, will come together. Understanding what God is doing. Are we understanding now? Okay. Then let me come to the power of agreement. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 25. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 25. Hallelujah. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Okay, it talks about, I told you in the first, at the beginning of the sermon, the Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. Why? Because you're in the gathering of the brethren, there is the release of oil and there is the release of the dew of heaven. Now let's go to Matthew's chapter number 18. Matthew's chapter number 18, verse number 19 and 20. Someone read that verse now for me. Matthew's 18, verse number 19 and 20. Someone please help me with that verse.
Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them.
Amen. See what it says, two or three. Not gathered in their own name, in their own agenda, but for the will of Jesus, for the kingdom of God. If two of those come together in the name of Jesus, that is for the will of Jesus, God is there in their midst. And the 19th verse says, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done. That is the power of agreement. You know, that's why I ask people to say amen in between, so that you agree with your amen, so that it shall be done in your life. That's why I ask people to shout amen in the end.
Amen.
So when you agree with me, at the word of God that we are speaking, I am speaking, it will be done in your life. That is the power of agreement. Are we understanding that? John chapter number 5, verse number 31 to 34. John chapter number 5. Verse number 31, 34. If I bear witness to myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. That is the Father. Hallelujah. That Jesus says, you know, if I bear witness of myself, it will not be true. Someone has to agree, and the one that agrees with me is who? The Father. That is the power of prayer is effective. That is why when you pray the will of the Father, if you are praying something that the Father is not agreeing with, how can that happen? Tell me. So prayer according to the will of the Father works. There the Father agrees and it is done. Hallelujah. But if you are praying something, oh, I want this, I want that, and God is saying, oh God, this person is so disturbed, anxious, and the devil is on his mind and he's praying. Can't he just understand my will and pray accordingly so that I can agree with him and do it? Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. Verse number 17 and 18. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Father and the Son agreeing together. Even the earth was created by Elohim. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit agreeing together. Man was made. Let us make man in our own image and likeness. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit agreeing together. Whatever happens in heaven, it happens by the agreement of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Whatever happens on earth, it used to happen by blood and the water and demonic spirit. But the sacrifice of Jesus negated that agreement. And now it is by the blood that Jesus shed, the water that came out, and his spirit. These three agreed together to execute the will of heaven on earth. I told you that sermon. There is power in agreement. And then when the believers come in agreement, the oil of heaven is released. When the believers come in agreement, the dew of Hermon is released. The oil of heaven, the oil of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is released for the equipping of the saints, for you to turn into the workmanship of heaven. And then when you are turned into the workmanship of heaven, the dew is released. When you stay in unity with the body of Christ, the dew of heaven is released, the wisdom of God, the fresh manna of God, the power of the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God is released to make you a person who rules the nations. Hallelujah. Amen. That is what the church is called for. The church is called to be the city of Zion and under the rulership of the King of Zion to execute the rule of God over the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this time, Lord. Lord, even as you have released this word, let the body of Christ, let the remnant of God this time come in unison. Oh, how behold how good and how pleasant it is. However anointed a person is, the anointing, the purpose of the anointing is not found outside of the body of Christ. It is to the body of Christ. However anointed the person is, and the person needs to submit to the head in humility. Hallelujah. For the fulfillment of the purpose and the will of the head, that is Jesus Christ. And I pray, I prophesy that the church of God, the remnant of God, is being transformed into the city of Zion. Is been transformed into the mountain of Zion. Hallelujah. Where the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, sits on the throne of Zion to execute rule, to execute reign, to execute judgment, to execute punishment for the wicked. And we are your people, who are the people of the administrative system of Zion, who are chosen for such a time as this, O Lord. And I pray, even as we gather together, let there be a release of your oil on your people. Let there be a release of your anointing on your people. Let there be release of the fresh dew of Hermon. Yes, receive it, people of God. Receive it, prophets. Receive it, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Receive it for the fulfillment of the body of Christ, of the purposes of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are building the kingdom of God, and we know that there is no selfishness that is existing in our lives. We need to get rid of self. We need to get rid of personal agendas and build the body of Christ, build the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And God is doing a mighty work in this place. He needed only 12 of them to turn the world upside down. Gideon needed only 300 of them to defeat the Midianites. And hallelujah, it's not about the numbers, it's about the quality. And God is raising up quality servants of God. Hallelujah, who are sanctified. You see, it's not about the power and anointing. This time is about consecration. Hallelujah. God will use consecrated vessels of God this time. Hallelujah. Are you ready to give your life to Him completely? Are you ready to say, oh Lord, I have so many agendas that I can do ministry for, but I dump it in the garbage bin and I want to surrender to your will. Whatever you want me to do, I will do it. Crucifying my own flesh, crucifying my own will, denying my own will. I want to take up the cross and follow you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Until you deny your own will for doing ministry, you cannot be used for God. You need to crucify your own will and submit to the patterns of God. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the release of oil in this place. Thank you for the release of the dew of heaven in this place. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. Hinne mato, la 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 la. Hinne mato, la 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 la. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Hallelujah. For there the oil, Lord, is released on the head and through the head, on the beard and on the hedge of the garment of Aaron. Thank you, Lord, for you are anointing people, for you are raising up a new breed. of the Spirit for such a time as this. Hallelujah. You are raising up prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists here. Oh, raise them up, Lord. Let our focus change, Lord. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Even people who have personal needs, just look to Jesus tonight. Maybe the need of finances, need of healing, need of any problems in the family. Just seek the kingdom of God first. Just look to him and say, God, I surrender. You see how healing comes. You see how breakthroughs come. When you seek God first, when you obey the word of God first. Hallelujah. Just look to him. Just look to the cross. Just look to your Savior Jesus, and he will perfect everything in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray for this group. You know, it's very difficult to bring out Christians nowadays out of domestic agendas into the agenda of God, because everyone around is so mindful about, oh, this is not happening, that is not happening. And they think church is all about getting breakthroughs. Church is all about this, you know, getting healed, getting personal. It's not about that. Church is about Zion. Church is about executing the reign of God. And even as you take the position in the kingdom of God, everything else will be. I know I cannot give you testimonies, but I don't focus on my needs. I don't focus on what is happening wrong. I just focus on building God's kingdom. I am just focusing on building his house. And the Bible says, when you build his house, he will build your house. Hallelujah. What's the use of a builder building the house when God is not watching over it? Hallelujah. The building of the house is in vain, the Bible says. Build his house, I want to tell you. See to Jesus. Look at him and you will walk on waters. Don't look at the winds. Don't look at the situation, but look to Jesus tonight. People of God, arise, arise, arise. Hallelujah. You are not what you think to be. Oh, get out of your selfishness and crucify yourself so that you can be consecrated to serve the will of the Father of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for your wonderful presence. Thank you, Lord, that you, even as people are looking to you, you are taking care of them. You are healing them. You are bringing breakthroughs in their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you all praise, honor, and glory. Father, once again, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Let us shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We want to thank